Major support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books, an independent New Orleans bookstore. Additional support comes from the University of Louisiana Lafayette Press and the Hellas Foundation. Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, your weekly look at the Louisiana literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week I'll be talking with Rich Cohen, whose new book is The Last Pirate of New York, A Ghost Ship, A Killer, and the Birth of a Gangster Nation. We'll also hear from Nick Courage, whose new young adult novel is Stormblow. Courage has one of the best names for a young adult writer I've ever heard, and his characters face difficult situations with unfailing courage every time. Nick grew up in New Orleans, but left before his senior year in high school and has lived all over the world. Now he lives in Pittsburgh with his wife and his two cats. His first book was The Loudness. Today we're talking about his new novel, Stormblown. Nick Courage, welcome back to The Reading Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Stormblown chronicles the relentless advance of a megastorm called Hurricane Valerie and its effect on your characters. So first, tell us about Alejo, who is a young boy who lives in San Juan.
So Alejo is basically a young kid during the summer who's working with his padrino at a beachfront resort, and he's sort of left to his own devices, which becomes problematic as this hurricane sort of launches a surprise attack on San Juan.
And then there's Emily, who is a young New Orleans girl, and her brother Elliot.
Right. So Emily and Elliot have a lot of me in them, in that they are kids who live within walking distance of Audubon Park. They're sort of free-range kids. Emily is more free-range than her brother Elliot, who has been battling some illnesses, so she's dead set on having some adventures for the both of them.
And Emily collects animals, which I love. She collects a goose and a turtle, and you remind us that all of these animals are also in the storm's path, and that island in Audubon Park is a really important part of the setting in this novel. So what are your memories of Audubon Park?
I spent a lot of time as a kid with the ducks and the geese at Ochsner Island or Bird Island, just right there in Audubon Park. When I was growing up, some of my favorite books were about kids empowering themselves to set off into the wilderness. So My Side of the Mountain, that's my favorite, by Jean Craighead George, Island of Blue Dolphins, Girl of the Sea of Cortez by Peter Benchley, who wrote Jaws, Hatchet. So I'd be reading those books, and then I'd go see the ducks and the rookery at Audubon Park, and I just always had this daydream about wading through the lagoon and setting up camp on that island like Sam Gribble in My Side of the Mountain. So this book sort of started off very much in that vein of a survivalist kid on Ochsner Island, and then it sort of grew from there.
That's Emily's favorite book as well, My Side of the Mountain.
Yes, in earlier drafts it really featured maybe too heavily, so I down to My Side of the Mountain. But that is one of my favorite books in the world. I started off wanting to write that kind of classic children's literature, and then I sort of quickly realized that we live in such a different world than when those classic survivalist stories were written, and that if I was writing a book set in New Orleans during hurricane season, summer months, it would seem so incredibly fantastic for that book not to factor a hurricane. You know, like if you look at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration data from 1980 on, so when those survivalist books were written, it's just such a different world now when it comes to hurricanes and wilderness survival. So the working title of the book was Feather Island, because it really was about that little island in Audubon Park. And then I realized that, you know, I wanted to write a story where a kid is empowered to set out into the wilderness, one of those classic children's literature survivalist stories. But I needed to acknowledge a world where nature is a little less cooperative, than it may have been in the past, and where self-reliance only gets you so far. And also a story that sort of acknowledges the more global system of a hurricane and the interconnectedness of people and animals in a storm.
Well, that's what you do so wonderfully in these chapters that are devoted to a young petrel who's trapped inside the hurricane itself. I wonder if you'd explain that phenomenon of the birdcage, because those are really interesting, lovely, scary chapters.
Yes, very scary and very fun to write. I wish I could write an entire book just about those storm birds, which is what they're called. They're birds that get stuck inside the cyclone of a hurricane. So after a hurricane, you might see tropical birds on distant shores that you wouldn't expect. You'll see them all the time in New Orleans during hurricane season. But basically, it's like these birds are trapped in a cage and they have to keep up with the storm or sort of succumb to it.
And it's a very young bird.
It is a very young bird. I know. Well, you have to raise the stakes in these kinds of adventure books.
Right.
But I recently had a librarian in Ohio tell me that he had been reading the book on the edge of his seat. And it was only when he said that I realized that I was actually writing the book on the edge of my seat, very stressed out for the year and a half or whatever that I was working on it. And it's a long time to spend amping up the action in a hurricane.
Well, that's the thing. The storm practically becomes a character. It is so huge, so relentless, and so unstoppable. That's the whole point of the book, the nonstop action of, you know, that we can do nothing about, really, in some ways.
That's exactly right. When I realized that I needed to write about a hurricane, which I was hesitant to do because it takes a long time to write a book, and I didn't necessarily want to spend so much time as a New Orleanian with a hurricane writing a hurricane. But once I realized that I needed to write a hurricane, that was really what tied the book together, and that's really what made it sort of an action-adventure story, but also a story about empathy and interconnectedness. Once I realized that it was a big storm book, I knew I needed to follow it as it evolved through Hurricane Alley and sort of show all the potential human and animal lives it affected, with just as many connection points, just to sort of show that sort of global effect of a storm like that.
Another one of the things I enjoyed so much about this book was the author's note at the end, which I know is an odd thing to say, but it is such an informative and useful guide for young readers about their own options, things they can do. And talk about putting that together, because it's so useful for classroom, for students, for parents, everybody.
That is so great to hear. So it's important with this kind of book, this sort of action adventure thrilling book that is tied with current events, that you don't leave kids worried at the end of it. So it was really important to my editor and to my publisher that I contextualize the story about the hurricane and give readers ways to think about it that don't feel hopeless, because I think that's an easy thing to feel when you're thinking about natural disasters of this magnitude. And the natural disaster in the book, everything that happens in the book, there's sort of a scientific basis for all of it, but it is a very scary storm. So just thinking about not only tying the narrative into STEM issues, so like climate change, ways to think about climate change, but also sort of reassuring kids that there is something that they can do, that they have some agency, just like the characters in the book have agency.
I mean, you suggest so many basic actions kids can take and so many sources of education, and that's what you want them to take with them in the future.
Absolutely. Just thinking about a storm in a way that is more global, that there are other people affected, just because the news cycle, traditional disaster coverage tends to narrowly focus on the damage that most affects us, sort of wherever we may be in any given scenario, and usually in a way that can kind of feel sensationalist before the cameras even move on. And then there's also the frustration of the 24/7 news cycle. So when the cameras do move on, it's usually before there's any real resolution. So I wanted to sort of address that in the book and also just give kids a way to think about hurricanes globally.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like you've hit a writing groove with this book?
Oh, absolutely. This was definitely one of those projects where I got my 10,000 hours in.
All right. Well, you've got lots of excitement in there, I have to tell you. Now, I just have to bring this up. You have some great hobbies, too. I was looking at your website, and not only are you a great skateboarder, but you are also a fabulous baker.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about those delicious pictures.
Oh, yeah, sure. I would love to. I'm so glad that this interview went here, because that really is a passion of mine. Started basically because I realized that I didn't know how to make any of my favorite foods or what went into it. So croissants, bagels, things that when I was living in New York, certainly I ate every morning from a cart on the street. some of my more lavish favorite pastries, like eclairs or fruit tarts. I used to work at La Madeleine's Bakery and Cafe in New Orleans, and I would eat an eclair every day for lunch. And so I just got really into figuring out what goes into creating bagels as well, what goes into creating these kinds of baked goods, and really into the process. And it started when I was doing my edits for this book. So the edits for Stormblown were, there was a lot of fact-checking, there was a lot of work that went into these kinds of issue-driven books in general, and sort of as a break, I would bake.
How relaxing.
It was fantastic. Yeah, and I'm growing my own raspberries now, so hopefully I'll be able to make fruit tarts, my own raspberries, which is very exciting.
Well, the fruit tart pictures were the ones that really got me. Those were really very appealing.
That's definitely the thing I am.
Yeah. Now, you also, we should say, have this long background in publishing, and now you've turned to writing. So what's more fun for you? Is it the writing?
Well, publishing is great because you get to meet a lot of really fun people, and you get to work on books in sort of shorter cycles.
Right.
So working on a different book every 3 months or a different cycle of books every 3 months is really fun. But writing is really where my passion is. So that's what I still do some freelance book marketing, and I work with authors on the side, but writing is the dream.
All right. Well, keep them coming. And I know you'll be in New Orleans this fall for the book, but we'll get the word out during storm season.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Oh, my pleasure. We've been talking with Nick Courage about his new novel for young adults, The Terrific Stormblown. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a storm in the Gulf, and it's headed your way. You better batten down your hatches, should be all I need to say. There's a storm in the Gulf, and it's headed your way. You better batten down your hatches, should be all I need to say.